Hey, After Buzzers, before we move on to your next topic, we just want to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. Plus, there are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, and it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor FM to get started.
Today on Man Calls the Heart, we talk about telephones, business partnerships, and building a future. All that and more on the season 6 premiere. Let's do it, Hardys.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Welcome back, Hardys, back to AfterBuzz TV. We are here doing When Calls the Heart, season 6, episode 1, the premiere episode. Phone rings and heartstrings.
Yep, yep.
You should all know us by now, but if you don't, welcome. I'm one of your hosts, Marissa Serafini. Joining me, I have...
In studio, I'm back. It's me, James Lott Jr.
In studios, you're back. Oh my gosh, it's been like forever since we've been in the same room together.
It's been a year.
Yeah.
Since we've done... We did the finale last year.
I think that was like April.
That was April, so almost a year. Almost a year. And I've been gone. I was gone for 8 months.
I know.
So I'm back, you guys.
You left me.
I left you.
It's okay.
It wasn't by choice, Foggy. We all know it wasn't by choice.
Right.
Not at all.
Hardys, we're back.
We're back.
Oh my gosh. I'm so excited to talk about the season.
Yes, me too. It's season 6, you guys. Season six.
We've come a long way.
We have come a long way.
The town has come a long way.
It is. And I'm seeing things in the background. You know, I always look at the background all the time. I'm seeing things like, oh my God, this is happening over there, and that's happening over there, and that's happening over there. So, yes, it's becoming this fully formed community.
It's a growing town. Yes. Look at that. Well, obviously, we're going to break it all down with Elizabeth and the cute baby Jack, you know, some stuff with Laura, Abigail, and bring the phone to town, the saloon, and potential future business partnership. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, Team Classy has a great storyline.
I'm not hyped about that.
It's building a future. We're going to get all into it. But before we do, James, what were your quick thoughts about the season 6 premiere?
It was cute. It was just a nice. It wasn't too much. It was kind of on the lighter side.
Definitely lighter.
Very much lighter.
I don't think there's any like real dramatic.
No, not really at all. And it was interesting to see Gowan in a lighter side too. This episode, they really kind of played up the lighter side of stuff with him. It was a fun episode. So, what did you think?
I liked it. It was like lighter, like you said, and there was a lot of storylines to follow.
Yeah,
I had to watch this episode like 2.5 times to make sure
I had to watch it slowly. Everything. I had to watch it slowly because it was like there was a lot of stuff to absorb.
Yeah, a lot of things. It was like we just hit the ground running, and that's what the show does because they're not going to wait for anyone. It's like, no, you got to catch up. This town is growing, and it's definitely progressing forward. And so shall we. Let's talk about Elizabeth. Let me start the episode with Elizabeth and Baby Jack. She's like coming into this new motherhood lifestyle. She's balancing, motherhood to going back to teaching now. But what are your thoughts first? Because I haven't really talked to you in person about this, but your thoughts of Baby Jack.
I wasn't here. Yeah. So in person. Okay. Yeah. First of all, the cutest babies.
Oh my gosh. So cute.
The cutest babies. Cute. And I know that babies... they do their own thing when you work with babies and children. So I know it's kind of funny, but these babies acted right on cue. I mean, smiling, and I don't know what happened behind the scenes. I mean, it takes it to take to do these, but they were great. I mean, it's cute. Number one, it's cute they named him Jack after Jack, of course.
Very apropos.
Yeah, very apropos. I like the great word. I like the word. And I thought. Just in general, just showing her having to, like it happens still today, being a single mom back then and having to juggle it all. And just and everybody loving the baby. I love the opening intro when she's talking, she's kind of doing the voiceover and saying, just like Jack in real life, all the ladies and all the men wanted to like. And it was very cute.
You want to be friends with him.
Yes, it was very, I keep saying cute, but that's the word I think that came regarding that storyline. It's very cute.
Right. It is cute. And gosh, those babies are adorable.
Oh my, yes.
And to get them like constantly smiling at Aaron at / Elizabeth in this episode, I was like, I did also question. I was like, I wonder how long that took them.
I was thinking about how many takes it took and all that stuff. So, but maybe they're just good babies. I mean, maybe some babies are good at that. So
yeah. But we see throughout this episode, Elizabeth is questioning if she's a good mother. Do you think it's too soon for her to question that? Because we technically have only seen maybe like a full episode, 1.5 episodes of her being an actual mother. So do you think it's too early for her to question those things?
No. as a parent myself, me and the mothers of my children, yes, I said mothers. it was very hard in the beginning because it's the very beginning, it's so new. And a lot of you parents out there will understand this. It's so new. You don't want to make sure that you're like, are you giving them enough attention? You don't want to leave. You really don't want to leave them. It's so hard to leave them, even though half the time you're tired or you're a little stressed out. I always say the first year of my daughter's life, I was just like, is she alive? Is she breathing? Is she alive? Is she breathing? Oh, God, what's going on over there? What's going on over there? Like, did I feed them enough? Did I take the attention? Like, you're literally just trying to make sure there's... So you do question, like, am I doing the right thing? Am I doing enough? Am I way too long? So I thought for her, it's right on target of feeling kind of like... And she's doing it by herself, right, so to speak. I mean, the town is helping her, but it's her baby. So I feel to me it's in line with kind of questioning yourself. I think mothers out there would understand
that. Okay, yeah, and you're definitely a parent, and this is where I wish Maria was still here because she is the mother of the panel.
Yes, of course.
So, I mean, but good for her.
We love Maria.
Maria Provenzano, our former host.
On Home and Family.
But she's living enough on Home and Family.
And she
also
has two kids. Plug
for her.
Yes.
Because, I mean, yeah, she's a mother. She knows what it's like to go through that, being a first mom and all. But I feel that's a very realistic story for no matter whether you're a mother or just a new parent, if you're doing a good job. And I love how Abigail went up to her. It's like, no, you're great.
Yes,
mother.
Right.
I'm like, because Abigail's a great mother,
yes,
too. It takes one to know one.
Yes, it does. But I think, I mean, people in the chat room are agreeing, once I guess we have, like, yes. What if you're in your first time? There's that commercial out there where it's like, first time parents, and like they're all careful. Second time, they're like, here you go, here's a baby in the shower. I love those commercials because it's so true. I grew up around kids because I come from a big family, so there was always babies in my life. So by the time I had children, I still got nervous, but I was a little more relaxed, but I still was a little nervous just because it's yours and you don't want anything to happen.
Right.
And you do question yourself. So Elizabeth is she's a good person and she wants to do well and she wants the baby to, you know, to do really well. And she's a teacher also, which I'm sure there's some kind of that in there too. It makes sense to me.
She's going back to teaching. I mean, she was always a great parent like a great parent, similar surrogate parent to all the children because how we know that she's going to be a good mom for just how she treats all the children and how she raises them and teaches them life lessons too. So
I agree.
I'm just after all this time that we see her like really so self-confident. It's really the first time she's like questioning herself.
Yeah, and that's what a parent will do that.
Right. I mean, that's natural too.
There's a lot of moms always worry, Stuart Pierce says. That's very true.
Yeah. And she's also being kind of somewhat of a surrogate mother to Laura in this episode.
Yes.
What did you think of Laura and the whole idea that she has to work part-time at the Mercantile? Her family doesn't have enough money to go to college. What are your thoughts of the Laura storyline and how Elizabeth helped her along the way?
First of all, these kids are growing up right before our eyes.
Robert's like 3 feet tall.
Yeah, I know. It's like, hello, Javen. Like, you just in real life, you're like, you're just growing so tall. I thought, again, realistic. What this show does a lot of times, even though it's set in a period that's not today, it's relevant to today. The issues were still going on back then, and I love how Elizabeth is empowering. I always say, girls and women should watch this show because they actually empower. The empowerment on this show is really strong, and I know you agree with that. Many of you in the chat room agree with that. And so I love the fact that she was trying to help her figure out a way to actually get to college. She knew there's some stuff going on. It's hard when your family doesn't have any money. And I was working at 15. I mean, my family didn't have any money, so I was working at 15. But I had still aspirations to go to college. Yeah. You have to work hard a certain way. And I love that Elizabeth was trying to help encourage her to go a certain way.
Yeah, it does take work to get to where you actually want to be. Yes, she has to work full-time as a nanny and part-time at the Mercantile. But if you really want to go to college, that's worth an education. Mm-hmm. Work hard now. It'll be easier later.
Right. And I just want to mention, hi, everybody in the chat room, of course.
Hello.
You guys are all wonderful.
You want to shout some out?
You guys are all so wonderful. So, yes, thank you. We got Lori Pearson, Jen Hebink. I would say your name wrong. Ann Riddle. I know I say this every time, I'm so grateful to say this. Jeanette,
I
miss you.
Hi, Jeanette.
I just have to say it because that's our thing we do. Sunshine Heart. I see Chickens is in here. I love Chickens.
Chickens is back.
Debbie Bailey is in here. Anna Martinez, Stuart Pierce. Kelly Fogg, our girl Kelly Fogg's in here. Sharon Stark.
Lauren Meeker, Sunshine Hardy, right. Laura Pearson, Lisa Colangelo. Hello, Hardys. We're back. I'm so happy.
Yeah, I just like Carolyn Canopy. I hope I said your name correct. I'm so happy to be sitting here. And you guys said hi to me, so hi to you guys too. We're just happy to be here.
All right. Are they saying anything about the whole
Laura story? They're liking the Laura storyline, yeah. And they're glad she's going to be Baby Jack's nanny. But the whole thing is like, yeah, that's what a good teacher does, is encourage your students to do better. That's what many of them were saying in the chat room. So yeah. I agree with that sentiment, you guys. I think that's what good I had good teachers that pushed me also.
Yeah. And that's what a good teacher does. And I think the whole line, haven't read Pride and Prejudice yet. It's like, you call yourself a girl.
But Jane Austen, I thought of you. I was like, Jane Austen, of course.
If people don't know, Pride and Prejudice is literally one of my favorite stories. I've read it like 5 or 6 times in my life. I literally can't even count because I read it so often.
Yeah, I thought of you. I said
like
Jane Austen.
It's a staple story in any woman's life.
Yeah, I agree.
No matter what age you are. Yeah. So it's actually, now that I think of it, I was probably Laura's age by the time I first read it. I was young.
Did you see the movie?
Way too young to really understand.
See the movie with Kate Winslet?
The Kate Winslet version?
Did she do Pride and Prejudice?
Keira Knightley.
I know.
That's like 2005. We're totally getting off
tangent. Okay. Just so saying.
No, Mr. Darcy is Colin Firth for me. Hello, BBC. But that's beside the point.
Yes.
But I do love how Elizabeth gave her the book, and, you know, to just encourage more education.
Yes.
Especially Pride and Prejudice, so win.
Definitely.
Good for you, girl.
Definitely.
All right, anything else about that before we move on to Abigail?
Yes. Actually, before we move on to Abigail, I think I have to do a little read, folks, you guys. You know, for us here at AfterBuzz TV, we love bringing these shows to you. We really, really do. And we really do thank you for making us the ESPN of TV Talk. Especially you Hardys out there, really follow us. And we want to help you guys help us continue to grow. And as tell other Hardys, of course. You're on YouTube right now. If you're not subscribed to us, I see a couple of people here said they're the first time watching. They listen to us, but they're first time watching.
Oh, awesome.
So welcome. Like this, hit the subscribe button while you're here. It's AfterBuzz TV drama, so hit the subscribe button so you know we're here. And also, if you're on iTunes, some of you guys say you listen on iTunes. If you're listening right now, later, you're listening to iTunes, make sure you follow that, like there too, and give us a 5-star rating. And also tell us what you think. We read comments on the air sometimes.
We do.
So tell us what you think.
Like this one, also on iTunes, if you go over to iTunes, type in AfterBuzz TV, Run Calls the Heart, you'll find our podcast right at the top. But, you know, like last time, Maniac Manatee gave us 5 stars. Wow. I don't know your gender, but it says, I really love this. With being an experienced Hardy, I thought it provides great insight, and I love the little add-on to my When Calls the Heart Night. She does say, I would like it to be better if we could cut to the facts and make it be a little shorter, but we talk fast. There's a lot to talk about in this episode. Besides that, she really loves it, and you all are doing a great job. So
thank you,
man. Maniac,
and thank you. So, and thank you all for being a part of AfterBuzz TV. It means so much to us. Tell your friends, tell all the Hardys. There's 65,000 of you out there. We want 65,000 people watching our show,
right? And listening to our show on iTunes.
And
great comment everywhere.
And thank you. And thank you, everybody. Yes, my shirt says I'm a hugger. And you guys who know me, some of you have gotten hugs from me. So I'm a hugger.
This is the first thing you did to me when you came through the studio today.
Yes.
All right, let's talk about Abigail. I mean, she's such an awesome woman already.
I know, she's the boss.
And she's even a more awesome mayor this time. Now she's bringing the telephone to the
telephone.
Town.
The telephone.
What are your thoughts of this?
I laughed. I thought it was hilarious. I just think how ironic. I almost said ironical. I was joking to say that. I know it's not a real word. But how ironical that they're talking about the phone in a day and age where, I mean, I literally live on my phones.
We all do.
So it's kind of like the phones. Our phones are our computers now.
I'm tracking live chat via my phone.
Yeah, she's
right
on her phone. So I was like, my phone's in my pocket because I don't want to get to do this thing. But it's just so funny. I'm like, I thought, wow, they're bringing the phone on. And you and I talked about this off camera. I thought it'd be like a long storyline of the phone, but actually they just went right into it.
Yeah, I was surprised that they introduced it so quick, because if you think about it, like season 4, they talked about the railroad, and it took us a few episodes, even to like the next season, for it to actually see it come to fruition. It was like a slow, progressive buildup, and this is like, nope, we're getting the phone this episode. And even if you check out my interview with Lori Loughlin back at HFR4, that was great. She mentioned that her character was bringing the telephone, and it's actually a great thing to start the season off on a positive note, progression, just like It shows growth of the town. It shows even more communication with outside the town now. Mm-hmm. So it's going to do wonders for them.
Oh, yeah. And I love the old phones. I want an old phone just to have one. I mean, I don't want to dial it or anything, but I just want an old phone. It's so cute.
Just to have. It's vintage
cute.
Now.
It's vintage now.
It won't work, but just to have it.
But it will change the town. It's going to change it immensely. Not to rely on the telegraph so much anymore. Now you have the phone.
Yeah. And I actually found it quite funny that it seemed like the men were having the hardest time adjusting and adapting to phones, mm-hmm. because we see Ned Joe's making a mess of the switchboard.
Yes.
Where a woman had to come and fix his problem. Yes. And then Bill was not happy because he's like, the telegraph has been working for the last 80 years now. So it seems like the men are a little bit more resistant.
Except for Lee. Lee was practicing on the phone. He's like, yes, yeah. You want that? I laugh so hard when Bill watches, like, oh, really? You know, it's not on yet. That was actually very, very funny.
Right.
Side note, I was a switchboard operator. So that's two of the jobs I've ever done. I did switchboard twice. Yeah.
I've known you for how long and how
I know. I never had a chance to mention it. I was a switchboard operator at Morgan Stanley, and I was a switchboard operator for an answering machine service years ago.
So you changed
ago.
The component wires mm-hmm. and all mm-hmm. that? Mm-hmm. Goodness.
This was back in the 80s, folks. It was a long time ago. So now they do it differently. But yeah.
Interesting.
But I love switchboard. Right. I love that. I love it. She came in. Do you think that the new chick is going to be kind of...
I think she's definitely sticking around for a few episodes. She showed her ankles. Well, it was more so like ankle socks. But it was shorter skirt than most are used to.
Yeah.
Progressive woman, though.
Yes.
Look at the position that she was in. She had to fix a man's problem. Mm-hmm. And like, she's already inspirational. I like her. Yeah. She can stay.
Yeah, she can stay.
I'm like, fine. Fiona Miller.
That's right.
I see you, girl.
Yes, I see you, girl. So she's in there. She's going to do it. They're going to work it out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I like her. And I think it's good that it... You know, the television.
Not yet. The telephone
is going to do wonders.
I think they said the telegraph was around for 80 years at that point. I was like, wow, interesting. I didn't know that.
Telegraph has worked for 80 years now.
Yeah, I was like, wow, it's around that long.
That's my best Bill voice. It's terrible, I know.
Oh, my God.
But
Jack,
I did,
we're going to forgive you.
Yeah, I did love the moment with Florence and Molly, Team Flomo. They're like, scandalous.
Yeah, I'm looking at the phone. I know the phone. Oh, my goodness. Oh, I forgot to mention the scene with Flo and the baby in the beginning. I thought she would never leave. Now we can gossip about the town. I couldn't stop laughing. That was cute.
My Florence. Come on, Florence. She's a little too young for that.
Yes.
But the telephone's going to be great. I have it in my notes now. They need to learn the magic of voicemail.
We're not there yet.
Moving on to the saloon. Tom has to sell the saloon because he's traveling back and forth to Union City. But people are interested in buying the saloon, particularly Gowan and Bill, but they want to go to Lee because obviously Lee has the most money in the whole town. What are your thoughts of how this all played out and them just trying to set up this partnership?
Yeah, again, very lighthearted compared to like the past relationship between Bill and Gowan. It was very lighthearted, kind of comical. To me, two great choices who would want to buy the saloon. I mean, I was like, these are two people. I'm like, yeah, I can see them both each running a saloon.
Yeah.
It would be kind of funny to have them in a partnership would be interesting. But then, you know, we find out, turns out they're not going to, somebody else bought it. But, and Lee would be the great choice. I love Rosemary. Rosemary does everything. That's my girl.
Of course, she makes it all about herself.
Oh, of course. I mean, that's my girl. And so I know.
What will you do for me?
Exactly. I just think it's so funny that she was like, okay, now you sit down and you said, let's talk about this. What can you offer me? Because Lee said, you got to talk to Rose, you know, talk to her. So I was like, okay. So it was funny. It was funny. One moment.
Yeah, Bill was willing to rename the saloon Rosemary.
Yes.
And Gowan says that he would build a stage for Rosemary so she can perform.
Yeah.
I was like, all right, Rosemary, I see what you're trying to get out
well,
of all
this.
Well,
she's a performer, so she wants to perform.
She is.
There's no theater there or anything.
There's nothing stopping her building a stage at her own house.
That's true, too.
Just saying.
Yeah, that's true, too. Right. But, well, now we see what's happening now. Somebody else is coming to town.
Yeah, whatever happened to that gazebo that they had back in, like, season 3?
Yeah, you guys,
where'd it go?
Where'd it go? You're right, where'd it go?
I mean, that was a stage that mm-hmm. she could have performed on. Mm-hmm. Did they strike that? I don't know. Repurpose the wood for something else?
I don't know, really. You probably did.
It could be production.
Maybe for all those people who came to town. Remember that influx of people who came to town, they needed the wood for something else.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe.
We'll say that.
I was like, it's like, look at your husband. He runs the sawmill.
Yeah, I know.
He can easily build you something in like half a day.
Yeah.
You're fine, Rosemary.
Yes.
But I did like how she tried to manipulate it so she can get something out of it. That's so true to Rosemary.
Oh, yeah, completely.
She played a big part in this
episode.
Completely,
she did.
Also playing matchmaker too, Rosemary.
Oh, yes.
Carson and they.
So they're really going with that relationship, I guess. I guess they're going that direction.
They're building it up. I mean, we kind of saw that coming.
Yeah,
but
saw it coming.
It's
happening.
Happening on screen. But it also makes sense that Rosemary would be the matchmaker.
Yeah, it would.
Seemingly.
Definitely.
It's like, there's no surprise.
I love that it didn't go the way she... Well, first they were finishing each other's sentences when they were helping Ned with his head. Ned with his head. I'm rhyming. and so that was kind of funny. And I was like, okay, I noticed that at first. I'm like, oh, she kind of finished each other's sentences. Okay. And they are a cute couple. They'll be a cute couple together. Mm-hmm. But I just wasn't sure they're going to go that direction. And now it seems like they're really going that direction. So that dinner party was really funny. Like most dinner parties, things don't always go as planned.
Awkward too. Do you agree with Rosemary was saying about Lee's? Like, it's great to have some be married because you always have someone agree with you. Like, girl, that's not how a relationship works.
No, not at all. Not at all.
Compromise.
Not at all. Not at all. But I thought it's again true to her character.
Yes,
that's why she would say that. I mean, Lee loves her, of course, and he's fine.
Right.
But these two, I'm really curious to see if they really do get together this season.
They work things out. Like, they hit some patches here and there, especially the line, I'm never wrong, because Lee loves me so much.
Yes.
I'm like, sure.
Yes.
Sometimes you do kind of go in the wrong direction, but we always work it out. I was like, yeah, it's true.
It was a funny dinner party. It was funny. It was lighthearted, so it was funny.
And the relationship usually is lighthearted.
Yeah.
They are the lighthearted couple.
Yeah, they are.
They have some dramatic moments here and there. But they're the ones that we get the most laughs out of.
That's true. That's true, too. Because Lee's facial expressions to Rosemary is hilarious. Kevin is a great job. It's just like, you can tell they're having fun. I mean, I realize it's like they're having fun with this role. So
yeah. They have too much fun sometimes. Where sometimes I just wonder if I'm watching Lee and Rosemary or if I'm actually watching Pascal and Kevin.
Right, exactly. I feel the same way.
But they're so much their characters, I don't mind it.
Yeah. Well, you know, I have a crush on Pascal, so I mean,
I love her.
I do. So anything she does, I'm like, sure.
We're working on getting them on the show.
Yes, we are working on getting here.
But they are the married couple right now because unfortunately Jack is gone.
Jeanette says they were caught in Rosemary's web. I like that. That's pretty funny.
That's true.
Yeah, that's pretty funny. But anyway, so yeah, it was awkward. Yeah, it was just awkward.
It was awkward.
You know, yeah.
They actually came to a good agreement at the end where they were talking that it should be Gowan and Bill together to do the partnership.
Yes.
And then they got bought out. But we did see the moment with Gowan and Bill starting to work out their differences. Like, mm-hmm. if you run the receipts here and I do this and buy the whiskey here, whatever. Like, they could have been a good working partnership, I agree.
And I think that's the whole point was that if someone keeps an eye on Gowan, mm-hmm. then it'd be okay. Mm-hmm. And Bill would be the one to do it, obviously. I mean, I think it'd be good because that's when he's talking to Lee. And see, Lee could have done it too, kind of. I think Bill would be better suited to kind of keep an eye on him and keep him on the straight and narrow. But I think Gowan is trying to redeem him. So I think he's trying to redeem himself.
Right. Or like have a cleaner business and restart again. Yeah. I get it. You all know how much I don't like Gowan.
I know.
But I'm willing to give, if he can start afresh, I'm willing to see where his new storyline takes him.
Yes.
So there you go.
I agree.
All right. I'm open to a good Gowan.
Right. So you heard it, you guys. It's all time stamp.
I said it.
She's open to it.
I'm open to it because I was so resistant.
I'm
open to it now. All right. Moving on to another couple, Team Classy.
My folks.
Claire and Jesse.
Yes.
What are your thoughts of Jesse's storyline? He buys a parcel of land. He sees the future with Clara. We actually haven't heard him say, I love you, yet, those three words.
Nope, we haven't heard.
But he's already envisioning a future with Clara. But he wants to be financially set before he moves forward. Your thoughts of this?
Okay, folks, don't get mad at me, Hardys.
Okay.
You know, I
sip my wine. Wait, we have wine.
Oh, yeah, yes.
Not to digress, but we do have wine.
Yes.
Cheers to season six.
Okay.
It's good. We'll see her later. Yes.
No. Okay. Here's the thing. So this is the one storyline that I was kind of screaming at the TV a little bit. Now everybody knows I love this couple. This coupling. I've been from the very beginning. I've been very for. I've been a Jesse fan from the very beginning, and everything. So I come from it as a male. So I was watching this and I was like, girlfriend, he's trying to get everything in order, which is what men try to do. They try to get everything in order so they can present themselves in a better way to you before they ask you to marry them. And I feel like she was pushy. So you guys can get a little mad at me if you want to, but I just felt like she was a little pushy, and I love them together, but I was like, girl, calm down. He's going to work it all out. Okay. And then, so I'm coming from a male perspective, because for men, that's what we would think. We're like,
I'm
going to
come from the female perspective.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. That's so, fair. But I thought, I want them together. I want them together. I want them, they're doing it. But I'm like, I see where he's coming from. He wants to, he's finally getting all his ducks in a row. And so he's like, he'll ask her to marry him.
Right. So you say pushy. I say, yes, she was pushy, but it was in a good way. It was only because, as a woman,
she had the
intuition that he wasn't being completely honest and like being omissive in that way. And he did. It, like, he didn't tell her the truth of why he has been so hesitant, why he doesn't have money right away. And she knew it. She knew that he wasn't telling her everything. And so she was just pushing for him just to get to that point where he can say what's really bothering him.
Well, men don't do that.
Yeah, but women push the men to do that.
I know, but I'm just saying men.
That's why men and women work together.
Men, I'm just saying men, we don't naturally think that way. We're fixers. We're just like, we're going to take care of stuff, and then you should and that's our fault. You should know how we feel, you know, whatever. That's where we come from. I know that's what it is. So I felt bad. I was like, you'll get married. Don't worry. It's going to work. He's going to ask. He's probably going to be really romantic. He's probably going to ask you and everything, but let him get the stuff in order first. So I'm going as a man.
Yeah, I did like the moment where Claire was talking to Abigail, and Abigail, you know, I can't say the exact lines, but it more so went to the conversations like, he has to tell you.
Yeah.
Like, he just has to tell you what's on his mind.
Well, the chat room is it's kind of split between both of us. They're like, you and me. Yeah, makes sense. And
they said, she was pushing him in a good way to tell the truth.
Yeah.
Just tell what's bothering him.
Elizabeth Lashley said, Jesse's never had a serious girl before, so he's trying.
Yeah, definitely trying.
I think he's trying. So,
but also, for a relationship, you have to be open to discuss everything.
Well, that part, that's what
Abigail was like. Yeah. Well, if he can't talk about this, what else can he not talk about? You know.
Well, Jeanette says, I'm impressed how far Jesse has come, though, since he's first on the show, which is true.
I wasn't the biggest Jesse fan either.
Yeah, she wasn't. I was the very beginning.
Remember season three? I was hard against him, too.
I know you were.
I'm usually hard against men. I mean, but rightfully so. Look where he came from.
Yeah, exactly. He came from nefarious beginnings.
It was more so about, like, my distrust for young men.
That's another show, folks. That's another show.
As I sip my wine.
But it's
more so like the problem with Jesse starting off, like, he was just a young man stuck in a terrible position, and he just had a lot of maturing to do, and we did that.
Yeah.
Problem with Gowan, he was a grown man doing all this stuff. Right. So he doesn't have more leeway in that sense. But both of these guys, Jesse and Gowan, they're growing.
Yeah, and again, good storyline, though. I enjoyed the storyline. Because, I mean, again, we have this dialogue. That's what a good storyline does. And again, it's the same issues that still happen today. So it's like, it's all relatable. That's why I love it.
Melanie, tell Besky, says nefarious.
Nefarious. Yeah. I like big words. I like words.
Yeah, nefarious is good.
I like a good word. And Ann Riddle says, I see where you're coming from, James. She was a little pushy, but not as pushy as Elizabeth with Jack.
That's true. We had moments where Elizabeth had to push Jack to finally talk.
Yeah, I know
talk.
That, too. But again, men don't do that normally. I'm sure back then, especially, if we were very...
But it's also women's job to push the men to do it.
That's true, too.
Get it?
You know, I get it.
You see? Like, we all have our roles.
That's very true.
We see it a lot of the times. And like, you know, rest in peace, Jack. But it is a reciprocal process and problem. And a lot of relationships, if not all relationships, you just have to be open and honest about it. If anything were to work, it's called communication.
That's actually very true, right?
All right.
That's very true. People like they love the Jesse redemption story. I do too.
Yeah. I'm loving it too. Mm-hmm. Especially like this is a past problem that he now had, stealing from a man and not paying him back. And knowing that he doesn't have to, because it seems like he got his money back, mm-hmm. but now he's just helping, supporting him.
Right.
Further down the line. So that just shows how good Jesse is to keep helping this guy.
Right.
So good on him. Yes. No one told him to do it. He knows it out of goodness mm-hmm. of his heart that he mm-hmm. should. So that shows character growth. And finally, the phone works at the end.
Oh, that was hilarious. That was hilarious, though. Are you going to answer it? It's like the phone's just ringing. Everybody's like excited.
Oh, yeah, that's right. The phone finally rings.
Well, it was so sad when everybody was there in the beginning and like raised his phone to go off and it didn't work. And I was like, "Oh,
yeah,
and then,
want."
I realized, like, wah, wah, wah. And then when the phone, but when she's standing there, and like, okay, well, answer the phone, and she did, and it was the president. Did you write it down? It was the president of...
The senior vice president of the telephone operations.
I was like, wow. I got excited for them. I'm kind of, I totally got excited. I was like, the phone's here! The phone's here!
The phone's here!
Mm-hmm. So, and Abigail should be the one to do the answer the first call. She's the mayor.
Yeah. And the phone's going to go into... a lot of the offices.
That makes sense. Like Lee will have an office.
Lee, the police, the general store, jail, probably. Right. Mercantile, yeah. And I believe the hospital.
That makes sense.
The ones that need the most communication, immediate, like emergency communication. So, yeah, there you go. Anything else about this episode?
Like I said,
that you loved.
Well, I'm gonna say it because I know people were kind of saying a little bit in here. I'm just gonna say it just a little briefly.
Okay.
First of all, I think the show is doing really well without the main guy that was on the show for 5 seasons. Yes. I would say that. And it did feel weird in the opening. I will mention it. It was kind of like, wow, there's no Daniel Lissing in the opening. And I wrote that down. I was like,
the title credits went so quick.
It was so fast. It was so quick. And I was just like, wow, he really is gone. Like, it was like the first time, the first season, he was not in the opening. It opened with Elizabeth. Or with Aaron. So I was like, I was like, oh, a little bit. So that's kind of like the elephant. I just want to say that out loud. And we noticed it also. We noticed it a little bit. But to me, the show's off to a great start. I think people who think they're not going to watch this season because of Jack being gone should reconsider and watch it. From the previews we saw, it's going to be really good.
Yeah, a lot of action-packed storylines.
But this episode was, I'm glad they made the choice. I think you agree. To make it a light episode, just kind of ease into it. You know, we had a dark last couple of episodes last season.
The last like 3 episodes of season 5 were hard to were hard hitting.
Yes, so it was smart. We were crying and everything was funny. So this was like, let's exhale. Right. I'm thinking Whitney Houston. Let's exhale, waiting to exhale. And actually, it's just kind of.
I love Whitney.
I know. Right? We love Whitney.
We love Whitney.
We love Whitney. I make sure rest in peace.
I don't think people know how much we love Whitney.
We tweet our stuff. I mean, tweet our stuff about Whitney. But anyway, I just think it was a great choice on the producers, the writers, to do something lighter.
Yeah.
It's still important. Story got propelled forward still, and there's a lot of storylines, so now we got things to choose from. There's a lot going on. So I'm almost afraid the season will be like, everyone's going to be like 10 things, 20 things going on every episode.
Oh my God, Marissa. They usually do that. There's usually like at least a solid 4 to 5.
Right.
Storylines.
I know. I think we have a lot, I think we have a lot. So is it Sunday yet? Debbie Betty said, not yet, girl. And like, it just happened. But yeah, I think it's going to be a fun season to watch. I'm really excited.
Yeah.
I'm very excited. What about you?
I'm excited. I mean, we have the whole season to watch. So a lot more to unfold in front of us and storylines to see where, you know, they built a lot of storylines for us to watch throughout the rest of the season. Like so many. But all right, that brings us into our fun special segment of the day.
Yes.
So the...
Yes. Oh, there you go.
What is that? Hello. Yes, so a big storyline, obviously, was the telephone. And I thought some cool, fun 1915s trivia for you. Because back then, you know, technology is hard to come by. But the first telephone call, it was actually took place March 10th, 1876. So 39 years, even before 1915.
Wow.
So we're in the year like 1915.
Yeah, we are. That's crazy.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah. So the first call was back 39 years earlier. And the first words ever spoken was, of course, by Alexander Graham Bell, who invented the phone. And he made the first call to his assistant, Thomas Watson. And the famous lines was, Mr. Watson, come here, I want to see you.
That's so funny.
That's what he said. And the first wireless telephone was transmitted sound on a beam of light instead of electrical wires like it is now. And it's the forefather of the cordless phone, which now 80% of today's telephone system that use fiber optics. But the first telephone call was so famous that Alexander Graham Bell, he repeated the line back in 1915 now. With the first completed transcontinental.
Oh, yeah.
So now we're crossing the entire country with the exact line. He says, Mr. Watson, come here. I want you. But this time, his assistant Watson replied that it would take him a week because he was at the other end of the line in San Francisco. So he made the call from New York. And his assistant picked it up in San Francisco. That's so funny. That was the first successful call across
coast to coast.
Coast to coast, transcontinental.
Oh, wow.
But the interesting thing is actually, because the show makes it look like the telephone is brand new, but it's actually been around. At this time, it's been around for a while. In 1900, there were nearly 600,000 phones in Bell's telephone system. The number shot up to 2.2 million phones by 1905. And here the show's already in 1915. And 5.8 million by 910 in 1915 was transcontinental phone.
I love that. It was Bell. I remember Bell back in the day. I don't know if you remember it at all, but Bell was the major phone company.
Yeah. Well, the major phone company, AT&T. We have the American Telephone and Telegraph Company that was formed in 1885. Wow. They bought out Bell's telephone company and, you know, added the T. So that's where AT&T comes in. And AT&T is still up and going. I have AT&T, yes. So I'm a little biased.
Me too.
But yeah, some interesting facts about the phone.
And I want to bring up something really quick. I forgot to mention it on the show. When Elizabeth was doing the cans and the string thing with the kids.
The whole vibration.
So when I was a kid, we had these trees next to my house. And my brother and sister and I would go on the tree. We each had our own tree. Made our own little house. And we used to take cups with the string. And talk to each other.
Like plastic cups?
Yep.
Like red Solo cups?
No, okay. The other one, the white styrofoam.
Oh, yeah, okay.
The white styrofoam. We used to do that. We used that when we were kids.
But styrofoam, like...
It worked.
Okay.
It worked.
I just figured it's a softer material, so it might, like, dampen the sound. But maybe not.
Oh, well, I was a kid. I didn't.
Okay. I can see why a tin can, because...
Oh, yeah, completely.
Can metal reverberates sound better than styrofoam.
I was a kid. I was an actual kid. I mean, this was the 70s. I don't know what... I don't know. We didn't go into all that, but I just, I mean...
The theory is there.
The theory is there. And I thought it was just really funny. They did that. I was like, oh, yeah, we learned how to do that, too. And we'd get string, and we'd do it, and it does work. It was kind of fun. So that's kind of a fun thing in there. And
So, Hardys, I hope you enjoyed that fun trivia. Like me, I'm just a nerd, and I thought that was actually pretty interesting. So maybe we'll do a fun special segment every week that like describes the technology back then to what it is now. And I loved all their ironic lines that they dropped throughout the episodes. Like, the phones are going to be everywhere now.
Right, exactly.
And even when Robert was like, I want to build a car that goes 60, 70 miles per hour. I was like, aim higher.
Exactly. That's going to happen.
But eventually we happen because we, like, ironically, we know.
Yeah, we do. It's fun to watch. It's fun to watch.
It is fun to watch and go back. But it's fun to see people, like, get introduced to it in real time.
Yes.
You know, and see how they adapt and grow in that sense. So that's it for our special segment, but we do have a little bit of news.
Oh, AfterBuzz TV News.
Yeah, so everyone should know that Erin Cricker was on Home and Family this past week, and she was talking about the season 6, and so she did a little recap on like where we are now and what's happening. Jack's gone, but she's a new mother. The telephone's coming in. So it's a great interview with, of course,
Ryan Matheson.
I totally blanked on his name. And I was like, I don't know Debbie.
Wait, sorry, Cameron Matheson.
Cameron
used to play Ryan on All My Children. Cameron Matheson.
Cameron Matheson and Debbie.
Me.
And, you know, she looked great. She also did another interview with Entertainment Tonight with former AfterBuzz host Deidre Bajor.
Yeah.
Behar. A lot of people don't know. Deidre is actually
a
host here.
Yeah,
I used to produce her show. So.
Oh, see?
She is a former AfterBuzzer, letting you all know that.
Yes.
And Erin says, after spending 5 seasons building up this romance between Jack and Elizabeth and really falling for the connection, I think it would be pretty jarring for audience to suddenly see Elizabeth with a new guy. So Erin is addressing if these two new guys that are coming to town, if she's going to start a relationship with any of them.
Right.
She says, probably not.
A little too
soon. So we are really taking our time with it. And if you watched my interview with Erin Cricker back at HFR4, Hardy's Family Reunion, she mentioned that these guys are just friends, quote unquote.
Yeah.
Keeping it friendly.
Yes.
In that sense. So, she says we're trying to be respectful of the fact that this is a major loss in her life. So, it is too soon for her to start a new relationship.
Yeah.
I think we can all agree on that.
Yes.
Yeah.
I agree. I think it's too soon.
And also, Kevin Smith over the weekend had a new film, Love on the Menu, with Autumn Reeser. It's all about gourmet cooking. Of course, because we all know if you follow Kevin's life,
he loves food.
He loves cooking.
Yes.
He was cooking last night during the premiere.
Yeah, I saw something like that. Yes, something like that. He does.
Yeah, some fun stuff. So definitely check those out. The cast, you know, they're still working, even off season. All right, moving on to our fun and final segment, predictions.
And now you're after Buzz
TV. Predictions. I've done it in 8 months. It's so crazy.
I know. It's been forever.
First of all, we saw the previews.
Yes, we did.
A lot. They showed a lot. I mean,
they always showed the full season preview.
Yeah.
After the first episode.
And it's like, so I'll go first because your predictions are always like spot on. Mine, she don't know anything.
It's but like she's, a study television
right,
or something.
Right, just something. I was going to say, Rosemary can have a hard time having a baby.
Yes, I have that too.
Getting pregnant.
Rosemary and Lee have fertility issues.
Fertility issues. Mm-hmm. And I think Jesse's going to find oil on this land,
yeah,
but it's not going to turn out the way he thinks it is. Like if you say, I'm rich, I think something's going to go down with that. It can't be that easy. Something's going to go down with that.
So he can't just have a good break in life.
I don't think so.
All right.
It's a drama, a TV drama.
Fine. Yeah, you're right.
I just have a feeling. I have a feeling it's just like, that's too neat. Like, now I'm rich. I got everything. I have a feeling something's going
to
go down.
So it's just like too good to be true?
Yeah. Usually it is.
Yeah.
Sure.
I feel that.
Now, you girl.
Okay.
I'm scared.
Well, I said Rosemary and Lee have infertility issues, but I would love to see, because we know we have the spinoff show that's only available on the Hallmark Movies Now app, and Hope Calls. I would love to see more crossover episodes between those two.
Yes.
The two women that we had.
Oh, yeah.
In the
I can't
Christmas
wait to
see.
Yeah. I can't wait.
And to this, because they do play in real time
yeah.
in that sense. And Elizabeth gets a library. So it makes me question, like, I mean, it solidifies more her place in the town now that she's a teacher. So she's at the school and she has her house and now she has a library. So what more could come about a library? I love libraries. I'm a
Me
library
too.
Like
Me
every
too.
Single week.
I have a library card.
So do I. I love libraries. So I think something good will come out of that. But also, I think there's going to be more because we know in the off season that they casted a few male actors to come
they
in
did,
for
yeah.
a couple episodes here and there. So Elizabeth, no, sorry, not Elizabeth. Too many characters now.
Right.
I think. Abigail
is gonna have a relationship.
It's too soon again.
And I agree.
She's had a man every single season.
I know, I agree.
Girl, it's okay. You are a successful, single, strong, empowering woman. You don't need a man. She doesn't need a man.
Yes. I agree.
They try to build up the storyline with Gon last season and like you know how hard I was against
that. I know, yes.
But I don't think this man is going to work out for Abigail either.
Yeah, not me too either.
It's like, no one's good enough for her.
They're not. She's the best.
I know. She's so good that it's so hard to get to her level.
Yes, I agree.
But I think the men that are going to come in town, they're going to cause a lot of scandal, and I'm not sure for the better.
I think so
either. Scandal usually doesn't mean
better. Yeah, I know. But I know what you mean, though. But, like, yeah, I agree with you also. So drama's going to happen with those men.
Yeah. But
oh, definitely.
That's about it. Other than more cute moments with the baby, I can't wait to see how this baby's going to really play into Elizabeth's story.
The whole town is totally into this baby.
Yeah, it takes a village, and literally the village
is taking it. It's taking her baby. She didn't know where her baby was. They're taking her baby.
Mm.
Yes, I love it.
I don't know. All right. Great things to come for season 6, and we're going to be here all season to talk about it.
We
have some guests lined up. I can't say who. You're just going to have to keep tuning in to watch.
In.
So, James, in the meantime, we're going to keep following you.
First, I want to say thank you to the 71 people who watched us today.
Yeah!
And many of you guys are in here, and you guys are getting involved, and I'm so glad that you guys were here with us. And I want to give a shout-out to you, little Elise Miller. That's Christy Miller's daughter, who made me this great little me, a little mini-me. And I'm going to bring it in one day and show it to you guys. It's really beautiful, and thank you, girl. I love it so much. You can find me where all James Lott Juniors are sold, at James Lott Jr. on all social media platforms. The SuperOrganizedUniverse.com is my website. Follow me everywhere. Now you.
There you go. And you can follow me everywhere at Serafini TV. You can follow all of us here at AfterBuzz TV and on social media platforms. You know where to find us. Keep rating, keep commenting, keep subscribing. Keep giving us your predictions of what's going to happen in Season 6. Thanks, Hardys, and we will see you next time.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.